Good morning. This meeting will come to order. Welcome to the June 27th, 2025 regular meeting of the Government Audit and Oversight Committee of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. I'm Supervisor Jackie Fielder, Chair of the Committee, joined by Vice Chair Sauter and Supervisor Sherrill. Our committee clerk is Monique Creighton. Much thanks to Madam Clerk, as well as Jamie Echeverry of SFGovTV for staffing this meeting. Madam Clerk, do you have any announcements?
Yes. Public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on your right. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing in either of the following ways. Email them to the Government Audit and Oversight Committee clerk at monique.creighton@sfgov.org. You can submit public comment via email. It will be forwarded to the supervisors and also included as part of the official file. You may also send your written comments via U.S. Postal Service, our office, and in City Hall, number 1, Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. If you have documents you would like to be included as part of the file, please submit them to me before the end of the meeting. Please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices to prevent any interruptions to today's proceedings. Finally, items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors agenda of July 8, 2025, unless otherwise stated.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Can we please call item 1?
Yes, item 1 is a resolution approving for purposes of the Internal Revenue Codes of 1986, as amended, authorizing the execution and delivery of a multifamily housing revenue note in one or more series in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $76 million for the purpose of providing financing for the construction of an 89-unit multifamily rental housing project located at 65 Santo Street, known as Sunnydale Hope, SF Block 7. Approving the form of and authorizing the execution of a funding loan agreement, providing the terms and conditions of the loan from the funding lender to the city, and the execution and delivery of the note. Approving the form and authorizing the execution of a borrower loan agreement, providing the terms and conditions of the loan from the city to the borrower. Approving the form of and authorizing the execution of an amended and restated funding loan agreement, which amends and restates the funding loan agreement on and after conversion. Approving the form of and authorizing the execution of an amended and restated borrower loan agreement, which amends and restates the borrower loan agreement on and after conversion. Approving the form of and authorizing the execution of a regulatory agreement and declaration of restrictive covenants, authorizing the collection of certain fees, approving modifications, changes, and additions to the document, ratifying and approving any action heretofore taken in connection with the back-to-back loans, the note, and the project, granting general authority to city officials to take actions necessary to implement this resolution, rescinding resolution number 162-25 and related matters as defined herein. This item will be referred to the full board as a committee report for consideration on July 1st, 2025.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Ryan Van Zoylen, project manager of Sunnydale Block 7 of this item, will be presenting today, and Ms. Kyra Geithman, associate director of Policy and Community Affairs at MOHCD, will also be available for questions. Mr. Van Zoylen, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Fielder and committee members Sauter and Sherrill. My name is Jason Liu, Policy Director for Community Development for the Hope SF Initiative over at the Mayor's Office of Housing and Community Development, alongside my colleague Ryan Van Zoylen, Senior Project Manager at MOCD as well. We're here to present on item 1 of the affordable housing developments, for the affordable housing development located at the Sunnydale Public Housing Site known as Sunnydale Hope SF Block 7. Just as a quick refresher on the Hope SF initiative, Hope SF was created by then Mayor Gavin Newsom back in 2005 in response to diminishing federal funding for San Francisco's largest and most neglected public housing sites, namely Alice Griffith, Hunter's View, Potrero, and in this case, Sunnydale. Hope SF represents a more than 20-year human and real estate capital commitment by the city to achieve reparations for the insidious impacts of past and ongoing trauma, systemic and institutional racism, and deep and persistent poverty. to follow through on the city's commitment of replacement housing to the Sunnydale community. We are excited to come before you today to approve financing for the next phase of affordable housing construction. To present further on this item, I'd like to welcome up my colleague, Ryan Van Zylen.
Thanks, Jason. Hello, supervisors. The purpose of the resolution before you today is to authorize the delivery of $76 million in tax-exempt and taxable bonds used to finance Sunnydale Block 7. This project will be a new 89-unit affordable housing development sponsored by Mercy Housing California and Related California. The Sunnydale Hope SF Master Plan seeks to redevelop the 775-unit public housing site into a mixed-income community of roughly 1,770 units with new streets, infrastructure, and open space. Sunnydale Block 7 will be the fifth affordable housing development at Sunnydale Hope SF. Of the 89 new units, 67 will be set aside as replacement units for former public housing residents earning 50% San Francisco area median income. The remaining units will be lottery units restricted to those earning 70% San Francisco area median income. The residential unit mix is designed for families and includes 9 4-bedrooms, 23 3-bedrooms, 43 2-bedrooms, and 13 1-bedrooms. Total development costs for Sunnydale Block 7 are expected to be roughly $107 million. The city's loan will be leveraged with the State Housing and Community Development ASIC program, which was successfully applied for by the sponsors Mercy and Related. The sponsor was also able to secure a private construction and permanent loan for the project, as well as housing tax credits. Construction is expected to start in a few weeks and finish by March 2027. I'm joined by Elizabeth Kawada here from Mercy Housing. We're happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Colleagues, any questions or remarks? Seeing no one on the roster, Madam Clerk, let's take public comment.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up now along the side by the windows. All speakers will have 2 minutes. It appears we have no public comment.
Seeing no one making public comment is now closed. I now move to send this item to the full Board of Supervisors as a committee report with positive recommendation. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes, and on the motion to forward this item to the full board with the positive recommendation as a committee report, Vice Chair Sauter.
Aye.
Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill. Member Sherrill, aye. Chair Fielder.
Aye.
Chair Fielder, aye. I have 3 ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Thank you so much. Madam Clerk, please call item number 2.
Yeah, item number 2 is a hearing on the city's employment vacancies, recruitment, and retention efforts in compliance with California State Assembly Bill number 2561 and California Government Code section 3502.3.
Thank you. And today we have Director Carol Eisen from the Department of Human Resources to present, as well as Ms. Kate Howard, Managing Deputy Director of DHR, will also be available for questions. Director Eisen, thanks so much for coming. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Again, I'm Carol Eisen. I'm your Human Resources Director, and I'm actually joined by my staff here from our policy and technology divisions to assist with any technical questions that you might have. Kate Howard has been delayed in a hearing and is not present with us this afternoon. We're having our first hearing in San Francisco as required under AB 2561. We have to have this hearing at the board every year as you're preparing your budget and prior to your final decision on the budget this year. So hence we're here on a Friday afternoon and we're looking forward to making this presentation to you. The first thing you should know, we're going to report on the city's vacancies, but the first thing you should know is that this data that we're going to show to you was current as of June 3rd. And as you know, having been part of the recent committee deliberations in development of our next 2 fiscal year budget, that there's significant changes that have been made in the city's positions with a number of vacancies having been eliminated, and that is still all in process. That will not be reflected, but this will give you a good feeling for the methodology that we use and some of the progress we have made since from pre-pandemic and a spike in our vacancy rates and how we've brought them down during that time. Let's go to the next slide, please. So this tells you here what we're going to report on, our vacancy rates. The statute requires that we report these vacancy rates by bargaining unit. Bargaining unit is a little bit different than union per se. Several unions will represent more than one bargaining unit or subunit. These units are laid out in our employee relations ordinance, and more on that. Let's move on to the next slide. These are, on this slide shows you the requirements under the bill, what we're required to report on. And so we're just going to start by talking about what is a vacancy. Let's go to the next slide, please, and how we make this calculation. So this slide shows you how what a vacancy is and how we do that calculation. First, we have the funded positions that are in the annual salary ordinance. You have an adopted budget. When you adopt a new budget, that will change. We then subtract out the budgeted attrition, which has an FTE count, so that comes off the top. And then finally, the filled positions, which leaves us with a number of what we then deem to be vacancies. So the next slide shows you that picture as of June 3rd. We had 39,664 FTEs in the salary ordinance. Somewhat over 4,500 of them are set aside for attrition. And the remainder, the 3,285, are filled positions. And that leaves us with the calculation as of June 3rd with a vacancy rate citywide of 6.6%. Let's go to the next slide, please. But I just want to explain one other concept that we look at in looking at our vacancies. We look at something that we call on-budget positions and off-budget positions. The on-budget positions, the way we think about them is these are your core operating positions that carry on from year to year to year. The off-budget positions are there, but they don't get filled unless they're funded, and those are typically the positions that will support capital work, IT work, seasonal work, and so forth. And so those are your off-budget positions. So when you take that into account, looking only at the on-budget positions, you see that we have these numbers, 36,852, are our on-budgeted FTEs. The budgeted attrition is backed out. The filled positions are backed out. And this brings us to a vacancy rate of our ongoing operating positions of 4.3%. We weren't always at 4.3%. We consider that to be an excellent number. You can see from this next graph that COVID was a very difficult period for the city. Our vacancy rate shot up to over 14%. We've done a lot of work since then to bring that number down. And we're now back to, in terms of our vacancy rates, back to our lowest levels dating back to 2018. So the city essentially has fully recovered in its hiring program to pre-pandemic levels in terms of vacancy percentages of vacancies. The next slide, it's kind of a busy slide, but this shows the bargaining units. Some of them are rolled up. There are subunits under a number of these things and the corresponding unions that are associated with these bargaining units. And I put in here both the number of positions so it can give you a sense of scale about what we're talking about. So you can see, obviously, some of these unions are quite substantially larger and have larger numbers and real numbers in terms of their vacancies than others. And you can see the unions that are more affected by this notion of the on-budget and off-budget positions. So, for example, starting right at the top with professional and technical engineers, Local 21, the vacancy rate as of June 3rd was 10.7%, but the on-budget was 3.4%. What that's really indicating is that we have a number of vacant positions associated with capital projects, grants, IT projects that are only filled once funded, as opposed to the operating positions, which departments will have the goal of always keeping filled. And you can see that how that varies throughout. So if you drop down to, say, the police officers line, we all know this is an area of great concern for the city. Our department is fully engaged with the mayor's office and the police department to address it. But you can see that the police department, in terms of the unit, the bargaining unit that includes your rank and file police officers, has a vacancy rate of 19.6%, and that on budget is very close. So only a fraction of that 19.6 are off budget positions. So that illustrates that point, and you could see it throughout. Next slide, please. Since throughout the laying the groundwork during the pandemic and ongoing, we have undertaken and are continuing to undertake significant process improvement in our hiring. And we presented on our work in progress a year or two ago when the grand jury did a report of our hiring process. And we've since made additional work since then with process improvement. We've streamlined the onboarding process. We have significantly changed our recruitment and examination procedures. We're in the midst of historic rewrites of much of the civil service rule books for both sworn and non-sworn employees. And we've created new hiring guidance and training programs to find our next generation of workers. We've done a number of technology improvements, moving away from our work being paper transactions to being systems driven, and we're going to keep going with that and do the most we can with the resources that we have so that our applicants have a good experience from the moment they express interest to the time if and when they do get offered a job. And it also allows us to tie our own program, our examination and hiring programs, to where the needs are and not to just where what we saw as antiquated rules telling us that we needed to do. Next slide, please. And finally, supervisors, I'm sure you've seen it. When you come in the Polk Street steps to your left, we are finally back in City Hall. The Department of Human Resources and its predecessor agency, the Civil Service Commission, was at one time many years ago in this building, in the basement mostly, but we were here and then we left after the Loma Prieta earthquake and never came back. And to me, it's quite significant that the city's making a statement that we are welcoming into our house here in City Hall people who are interested in working for us. We're also running a number of apprenticeships there. We're running we're part of career fairs. We're doing a lot of one-on-one coaching and group coaching with city employees and with job applicants to look at opportunities that they might have for career growth. So if you get a chance, drop by. It's a pretty exciting place, and we're really proud of the work we've achieved so far. That's our report for you. We're happy to answer any questions. And as I say, once the budget is finally adopted, I think you'll see some significant change in those numbers. But I think the trends will continue that we have dropped are almost to a 6% vacancy rate and likely to be dropping. Thank you, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Director Eisen. I appreciate the presentation. I have a few questions myself, but want to give the opportunity to my colleagues for any questions. Vice Chair Sauter.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Director, for the presentation. I know as part of the requirements, you're asked to speak to obstacles related to hiring, and I know that could be its own hearing, but any that are top of mind, any that you feel like you've made progress on removing those barriers, removing those obstacles?
I think, so first of all, I just want to give the committee my perspective about our employment system generally. We are a merit-based system, and by definition, we are open to any and all qualified applicants for any job opening that we have. So that, almost by definition, means that there's going to be time involved. And it's part of our obligation out to the community that we are a merit-based employer and we are open for business and anybody can come and apply. We are very, we're a highly regulated merit system, as it should be. So we will take all applications, we will leave positions open, we will vet those applications, and then we will put the applicant through a process. And then if we have more qualified applicants than we have positions, we have to do further process to make those final selections. All of that is process work. We've worked on literally every step of it to try and make that go faster and more cleanly. I would say, and my team is here to help if we want to get in more detail, but I think the most significant thing that we have done is that we have gone to online on-demand examinations with continuous lists in a number of citywide classifications. So any interested applicant can come, put their name in, submit their resume, do this all online. We look at it. They take the exam in their own location in their own time. And they are scored and they are placed on a list. And when departments go to hire, they have that whole pool to be able to choose from. So that's the good news. The more difficult news on the back end is that we have a lot of applicants. We have a lot of people who want to come and work for us. And we can't employ everybody. So I think there's a certain amount of expectation when you go through a detailed hiring process like that and then don't have a job. So we have disappointed people out there who would like to work for us and don't. But we do hire thousands of people every year. So there are opportunities, and there are opportunities once you're a city employee to advance through the system. So I think most of our the investments we've made in technology are really starting to show in the applicant's experience in working for us. The other thing is just the Career Center itself, to create a welcoming space where we will talk to anybody who walks through the door. We've served over 1,000 people this year. We've run multiple workshops. I think it's starting to build as a real center for where you can come and get a job.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Do you have any data on how the average time to complete the hiring process for city employees has changed as vacancies have decreased over time? Has it mostly remained consistent?
So at the time of the grand jury report, there was a number that was a very big number. It was like 7 or 8 months. We haven't done a recent calculation of what that overall number is. I can say that for key types of occupations, such as nurses, when we were really dealing with vacancies between ourselves and DPH and the work we did there, we turned that around where we're hiring nurses within a couple of weeks. Where we have high demand and not a lot of candidates, we can move quickly. Where we have high demand and not enough candidates, it's going to take time because we're putting a lot of work in on the front end to find those candidates. So it varies across the board. We could run that calculation again as a snapshot, but I don't want to sugarcoat it. It does, because of the earlier discussion about being a regulated merit system, there will always be a certain amount of time in getting a city job.
Of course. And then my next question is there data around the number of applicants for open, the average number of applicants for open positions, and if that has changed over time?
That might be, Dan, do you have that? Okay, we can look it up. We don't have that handily, but where you see high numbers of vacancies, we're not getting a lot of applicants.
Okay.
That's, those are the indications in those numbers that you're looking at.
Understood. Thank you.
Unless the vacancies are largely due to being off-budget positions, because that will, as I say, those positions are sitting there not necessarily with the immediate intention to fill. It really depends on the funding and the state of any given project or initiative.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much. Seeing no one else on the roster, Madam Clerk, let's take public comment.
Yes, public members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up now along the side by the windows. All speakers will have 2 minutes. It appears we have no public comment.
Seeing no one making public comment is closed. I'd like to move to file this item. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes, and on the motion that this item be heard and filed, Vice Chair Sauter. Vice Chair Sauter, aye. Member Sherrill. Member Sherrill, aye. Chair Fielder.
Aye.
Chair Fielder, aye. I have 3 ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Thank you so much, DHR, for being here. Your presentation. Madam Clerk, is there any other business before us today?
That completes our meeting agenda.
Thank you. Seeing no other business, we are adjourned.